다가서는도 아, 아 저기 신점도 걸 납치를 점도 마주기에다 동안에 탈 아니 탈바다 담지 김벽고 봐 토요일에야 아니 야 저기 인지 접된 법보 나는 그래서 접숨이야 점도지 점도지 오래 시선 접 점도지 지선 점도지네 다 점도지 납자들에 가르 납고리란나 나도 이게 지키 최일에 최섬 최바다 삼바지야다 최섬 공품지야다 소바다 안디멘비게다 고경아들 융아 예수님 예죄 예죄도며 안에 개호주야 안디 안은 가족이 납제 될이야 냠네 제고레세 디스기 디고시네 안나 가족이 아 개디기 개호빠야다 안에 가서 개 디바빠야다 안에 개와디게 냠네 제고에스 안디고 그렇게 된네 쉬로다
In the section previous to this, we were looking at refuge. And in the refuge discussion, we spoke about how one turns to the three jewels for refuge, having generated, firstly, the strong wish to attain liberation, freedom from suffering. And combined with this, the second aspect that one has when one goes for refuge to the three jewels is the conviction that the three jewels are able to provide one with refuge from suffering or protection from suffering, in particular through generating the Dharma jewel within oneself. That is the protection that is our protection from suffering, the realizations of true paths and cessations. And then in the refuge section, we concluded by looking at the trainings of refuge. And if we summarize these in brief, it is to hear the Buddha Dharma, reflect on its meaning, coming to the point where one can actually meditate on the meaning of the Buddha Dharma. And now we're in the section on causality, on karma, and here we're talking about what in particular this refers to. In brief, it is that we need to accumulate virtue and abandon non-virtue. There's identification then of what is virtue, what is non-virtue, and these are the causes of what is virtuous that we need to accumulate, and we need to abandon engaging in what is non-virtuous and will thereby lead to suffering. That we are so encouraged in the Buddha Dharma to abandon all that is non-virtuous and accumulate virtue is because of this instinctive yearning we all have to experience only happiness, and not fleeting happiness, but happiness that is lasting and stable and is never interrupted by suffering. And thereby we are liberated from suffering, or this result, this state of stable happiness comes about through being liberated from suffering. And this is why we are now in this section on causality, on cause and effect, or on karma. And we're starting now our fourth class on karma. Because recognizing that we want to be free of all form of pain and difficulty and unwanted circumstances, both slight and major, we have to identify the causes that result in suffering. We need to recognize what the causes are that have as their effect suffering, because then we know what we need to abandon. And similarly, longing for happiness, the process is the same. We need to identify the causes which are virtuous minds. And these are what we must accumulate, in other words, strengthen our virtuous minds, because they have the effect, the result of happiness. So this is the process of cause and effect, identifying the causes that lead to the effect of suffering, the afflicted minds which lead to the effect of suffering, and abandoning those, turning away from them, ceasing them, bringing them to an end. And its companion is recognizing the causes that lead to the effect of happiness. In other words, virtuous minds. And these are what we then, therefore, need to strengthen, become habituated to, because these are the causes that lead to the desired effect, the longed for result of happiness.
And in the
This presentation on cause and effect is of crucial importance. Hence, we're going through it slowly so that a clear understanding can arise. In order for these meditations to have a transformative effect, in the sense that one commits to striving to abandon non-virtue and to engage in accumulation of virtue, a transformative effect in the sense that this is what one always does. One is always aware and strives to accomplish the abandonment of non-virtue and the accumulation of virtue. So in order to give rise to such a mind, in particular in a way that it does transform one, that it's stable and powerful, one needs to reflect on the results of suffering. Because it's through reflecting on the results or the effects that are suffering that one gives rise to a strong wish of, I do not want to suffer in any of these ways. And it's independence on giving rise to this determination not to suffer that thus becomes abundantly clear to us, overwhelmingly clear for us, that we then the recollection on the causes that lead to this undesired result becomes very powerful. And this leads to a change from deep within us, a change that I no longer will engage in following these habitual tendencies that lead me to accumulate the causes of suffering. These, when they arise, I will abandon. I will not follow them. And this is, in brief, how we engage in abandoning non-virtue. Similarly, a longed-for state of happiness, we reflect on that, giving rise to the wish of, it is suffering that I want to be freed from, and it's happiness that I want to abide in. I want my experiences only to be of lasting, stable happiness. When this arises with us in a powerful way, we'll identify clearly the causes that lead to such a state. Virtuous minds, minds of the Buddha Dharma, and those are what we'll strive to cultivate. So this presentation here on cause and effect, or causality, or karma, is of crucial importance, because it's through reflecting on effects, on results, that we'll see, this is not what I want, this is. And thereby, our follow-on, our meditations on the causes that lead to these results, will have greater enthusiasm to identify those causes, and then, having reflected firstly on effects and then on their causes, our mind will become powerful. We'll have a determination that even if we are greatly habituated to particular afflicted minds on virtuous ways of thinking, these we will readily strive to abandon, to turn away from. And where we have a good habituation to virtuous ways of thinking, these will readily and more easily strengthen. And where our habituation to other virtuous minds are weaker, we'll readily, easily strive to strengthen and develop these virtuous ways of thinking. So this is why this presentation here, that we now come to our fourth talk on, is of such importance. A key point to make here, as we do in all the various meditation topics, is for meditation to have a transformative effect, needs to be done repeatedly over a sustained period. This is a crucial point. We need a daily meditation practice, and we need to build on it. And building on it comes, to be able to build on it, is a natural result of having a sustained practice, because as we start to experience a transformation, we'll want to engage in it ever more. We're starting to see we're skilled, and we'll want to develop our skills. So here, as we reflect more on the need to cultivate virtue, what is virtue, these virtuous minds, the need for this, as we become habituated to this meditation, firstly on reflecting on the effect of virtue, happiness, and then the causes of happiness, virtue, as we become habituated to this, this desire for such a goal and understanding the causes, we will seek out, or rather, when our mind is virtuous, we'll recognize it as such and embrace it. Ensure it remains virtuous. And when we notice our virtuous minds are wavering, we'll readily strengthen them, because this is something we believe in from deep within. And correspondingly, as you reflect on suffering and its causes, and those causes become unwanted causes, as we become habituated to reflecting on this repeatedly over a sustained period, when we notice we are now entering into a situation of great danger. Great danger in the sense that this is a situation where my afflicted mind will readily arise. We'll restrain our mind. We'll guard our mind and ensure that our virtuous minds stay dominant and our afflicted minds, these minds that are the causes of all our pain and anguish, these we don't allow to ripen. These stay subdued due to the power of our virtue. And this way of thinking becomes habitual, independent on repeated meditation on causality over a sustained period. Tonight, I'm going to recap a little bit of the text that I covered last week, because I understand that what's mentioned in a very abbreviated way in the Tibetan, in the English, has been translated in a more expansive way. So tonight I will recover that in a more expansive way so that it matches what you have in the text, in your text. So we'll be starting at the bottom of page
24.
So the section we're going to look at starts on page 24, right near the bottom. It starts with, as explained here, abandon all negativity, continues over the page. We see there we have four points, and then a paragraph that leads to just before a quotation in a verse. So please do look at that, because the Tibetan is very brief. The English is expanded, and the order of the Tibetan and the English also doesn't match closely. So as the translator, I'll translate what Geshe says, but the order is going to be a little different, so just page between the two. So now to translate what he's just said. So here, it makes the text makes specific reference to the 10 non-virtues of body, speech, and mind. So these 10 non-virtues are listed here, and there are 3 of physical activity, 4 are verbal, and 3 mental. And these are how we engage in them through the 3 doors. So the Tibetan only mentions the 3 doors, but we have them translated here as the doors of body, speech, and mind. And then immediately the Tibetan talks about there's a graded effect of relating to the strength. And here we see minor, medium, and heavy degrees of strength. So what ensures that a particular action, there are various aspects that can make a particular action more or less powerful. So these are, for example, in the act of killing, the motivation, the strength of the motivation, the way that the killing was done, as well as the object that was killed, the being that was killed. So these are 3 illustrations that would have an impact on whether the act of killing, or 3 aspects of the act of killing, which have an impact on whether the result is minor, medium, or heavy. And that would be, for example, the motivation, the manner in which the killing was performed, as well as the object, the being that was killed.
And ဒီကတိချက်ပါလေစ်အန်ဒါကဒုတိယရင်းဆိုကောစမေညမဆမ်ဂျူနေမြဲပါချေကဒုတိယရင်းဆိုကောစမေညမဆမ်ဂျူနေမြဲပါချေကဒုတိယရင်းဆိုကောစမေညမဆမ်ဂျူနေမြဲပါချေကဒုတိယရင်းဆိုကောစမေညမဆမ်ဂျူနေမြဲပါချေကဒုတိယရင်းဆိုကောစမေညမဆမ်ဂျူနေမြဲပါချေကဒုတိယရင်းဆိုကောစမေညမဆမ်ဂျူနေမြဲပါချေကဒုတိယရင်းဆိုကောစမေညမဆမ်ဂျူနေမြဲပါချေကဒုတိယရင်းဆိုကောစမေညမဆမ်ဂျူနေမြဲပါချေကဒုတိယရင်းဆိုကောစ 그두들량에 심지어 세웠으면 군노와 계시 심지어 세바이나 디 심지어 세바 찍바리 되나 군노디 심지어 세디 군노 요르데 이나 군노디 균이고야 막 통통 맞다 매와자 니게 군노 왕기 디버 중앙 차가 해제 변화 맞게 배주로 오지다 변이 냐로 오다 가리나 세바이나 되니시
Let's look at then some of these aspects of a particular act that have an impact on the strength of the karmic seed that is accumulated and therefore the strength of the ripening results. So let's take the act of killing and the aspect of motivation. So here the person kills a sentient being, whether it's a fish or a cow. Here we're not talking about the object that's killed. But there is a motivation to kill. So there's an intention that the object, such the sentient being, such as a cow or a fish or whatever, is intentionally killed, purposefully killed. So no differentiation is, we're not going to discuss differentiation in terms of whether there was a motivation or not, or what the object was. But we're going to look within the motivation. So there can be a motivation to kill, that is where one acts under the sudden impulse to kill. The thought arises to kill the sentient being, and one does so. So there's a sudden impulse, and it's acted upon, and the animal or the being is killed. Compare that to where the motivation was not a sudden impulse, but there was extensive prior planning, preparation, and thought to killing. How to kill, why to kill, a long duration of motivation. So here, these two acts, both the same being is killed, the same act of killing, but the motivation, the duration of the motivation varies greatly, and therefore the strength of the motivation, and therefore the strength of the karmic imprint that is accumulated, and therefore the strength of the karmic result that will be experienced. So here we can see how the karmic imprint and result will greatly differ in dependence on the strength of the motivation, in this case the duration of the motivation.
Beju sudi lamsa ko sue shaba ina ani sue shaba chida yang sudi kable pe kolya kart kale ta na ji shu tang kale ta ji sue jor wa ti sue ba ina ko sudi kable kol gyu ma sue wa che pe na ji tang kale shu tang di ne gi ji ne sue ba ina di sue be di sem ji sue di di ba che wa le ta ko du di ne gi sudi kable na ji ma ta ji Kudu dilya, ane jik ko jikya suyasha, ane miyamda ki suyakani suyana, ta yunubu kalye shivu tamma suyabachi, dinigi narjo shivu tamma suyabachi, yunubu narjo matamachi, kudu suyasha bayina, dingi di, bejun jik suyabachi jikbari, kunuwa jikbari yobayina ya, suyatang dilya, pe yunubu narjo tam kalye shivu, tuku shivu tam suyana, dibachi yungu, rechiri. Nan dinigi majibachi, kudu di suyasha bayina, dingi di dikbachini, dikbachunga rechiri.
Take then another aspect that has a great impact on the strength of the karmic seed and therefore the result experienced. So we take killing, and here there is a motivation to kill, Whether it's an impulse or there's been lengthy prior planning is not what we're going to look at now. We've already looked at that. So there is a motivation. Its duration is not what we're going to look at. And there is an object, again, whether it's a cow or fish, this isn't what we're going to look at. And it did die. The result is the same. But what we will look at then is the performance of the act. Because the performance of the act has an impact on the strength of the karmic seed accumulated and therefore the result to be experienced. So if the being is killed quickly in a way that causes, that minimizes the suffering, the fear, the pain that the being has experienced, that has a particular impact on the result when compared to the performance of the act of killing, which is slow. No care is taken to ensure that it's swift. There's tremendous suffering in terms of pain, in terms of fear. So here we see a great difference in the performance. Either on one hand, being sudden, with the pain and fear minimized, and on the other hand, a slow death, a lingering death, where the being is filled with fear and filled with immense pain. So here, in the performance, there's a stark difference. And therefore, the strength of the karmic seed and the resulting effect will differ.
Then mi chik sueva tang, ane rangi pama tang, rangi kiwi xinyen tang, dine lam nyamne jeke gomzhuk jekingi, dine ki chanshu senpa tang, lam nyamne jeke, dine sueva ina, ane mi kyuma ju sueva di tang, rangi pama sueva tang, rangi jinyan suyeke sueva ini, dipa chi suyo rasine, ta rangi pama sueva tang, ane jeke rangi jinyan la sueva tang, dine ki lam nyamne jeken, dhuba nyamne jeken, chanshu senpa la sueva, dine sueva ne, shiragi dipa chewa re jere.
We've spoken about then how the strength of the karmic imprint and thereby the strength of its result is impacted in terms of aspects to do with the motivation as well as aspects to do with the performance. So then let's look at the object, because depending on what the object is or the type of being is that has been killed, there will also be a difference in this, the power or the strength of the karmic imprint accumulated. So if the motivation will be the same, the performance is the same, the outcome, death, intentional killing, is the same, but the objects, there's some difference. If on one hand, it's an ordinary being, but it's on the other hand, a being that has shown one tremendous kindness, such as one's parents, there's a great difference in the strength of killing if one kills one's parents. Likewise, if one compares the killing of an ordinary being to the killing of a being who's quite extraordinary, a being who's training in a way to be of great benefit to others, a being who has a path of a bodhisattva, of a bodhicitta in their continuum, so an actual bodhisattva, or a Buddha, of course killing such a being causes a far greater, more powerful a karmic imprint and thereby a more powerful result to be experienced. And then the third illustration would be to kill one's spiritual teacher, a being who is guiding one to accumulate paths of freedom in one's continuum, paths of bodhicitta that can be of great benefit to others, a being who is so beneficial in your life. Killing your spiritual teacher is, of course, a greatly heinous act as well. So here that we look at how, in terms of the object or the type of being that is killed, this too will have an impact on the weight of the karmic imprint accumulated.
That diva chishun di charo. That di simcha soju bigi peda dinigi soju chebala, soju cheba chipa yinayang, 되니기 군몽의 차내다 쇠당 무의 차내다 아니 유기 차내 디버 치슌 숨 차기도 와 이 나신다 가서 도초 심지 소주 집이 도초도 수림 소야 돼 와 심지 소주 방바 돼 와 소주 방비 개와디 난 니야 지고로 와 배는 아주 심지 가서래 소주 송두게 삼바 소주 송바 이면 지고 이내야 군몽을야 아니 송야 심지 소주 매 심지 삼모티 같이 숙제고 군어디 같이 누버체 숙제 요번에 삼저 소주 빠와디 개와디 숙제제 군어 거잖아. 아? 내니 소주 메세 비게 야 야네야는 공부 매나야 소주 얘기 이제 괜찮대와. 어떤이 소주 지기 메세 삼나 지다진 삼저 소마치 버치다. 아니 예만에 이미 삼저 소주 따오는 지기야 삼비게 주름 숭지 안에는 공제 소주 맞이 같이 용어. 니니 가르게 와 주름 소주 순 얘기 대 개원이 가르친 뉴베치기라는 군농의 차내 예만행이 디네스면 소식이며 삼비 군농의 안에 야도 삼다제 소주 마제가 있나 마제인디 개와티다 수림디 개와 체체고라 와데 개와 공찬 나야 지금 디네기다 모에 대차 다 유기 가수라데 다 유다 지시오마 다디 수림라에 차와이네 군농의 돈에 하는 것을 수림 써야 되나 개와 지시오 유와 지와 차고와
And that's an illustration of killing, how the act of killing can have the strength of the result that comes from killing can vary due to aspects such as the motivation, the manner of the killing, and the being that's killed. This is now in terms of, so that's of course an illustration of non-virtue. So let's then take an illustration of virtue. So the virtuous mind that we are encouraged to cultivate is the mind of restraint, the ethical mind of restraint that commits to protect life, not to take life, the commitment never to kill. So here, the same principles apply. The same principles that apply to non-virtuous acts apply to virtuous acts. The virtuous acts can and do vary in strength, independent on the strength of the varying aspects. So to take that of motivation, if one fleetingly gives rise to the wish, I will not kill, I will not harm another being, perhaps one sees something and this thought arises, I commit never to do, to act in such a way, it's a virtuous mind. Great stores of virtue is accumulated, but their strength is going to be somewhat limited because it's just a fleeting thought. On the other hand, if someone repeatedly in one's meditation practice develops this commitment, I will not harm, I will not take life, I will not cause pain to others, I will ensure that in all circumstances, I will not harm, I will never kill another. This is going to be a far more transformative thought, have a far greater transformative impact on one, and thereby the karmic imprints accumulated will be a far greater strength because of having meditated on this point repeatedly over a sustained period. Therefore, the habituation is so great within us, and therefore the karmic imprints are very powerful, and very powerful karmic results will be experienced.
那我以前呢，那给我其中我说，初中生也，小学生也给，但你们几，你们几个，他说几个名字，你们几个初中，说小学初中生，姐，那伢三爷那样的话吧，俺姐来说呀，他的内容物吧，你们几个初中生呀，他，伢呢，他我几个生呀，他，你们几个初中生呀，他，你们几个，俺爹那个生呀，给小学生呀，给初中阶段，但俺那个，那这什么菜啊，没几个了，直接说出几个名，甚至初中生比，生呀，生呀的，你不的。 아니 가래 개화된 유부 치고래 남나 다 뭐 유능아 수림 써야지 다 유부 치에 채고로와 아니 니미직 수림 써야지 써야지 다 심지어 소주 써야지 다 아니 미직 코로나 심지어 소주 써야 니버 다 심지어 소주가 송화 찍어래대 찍대다 유능 보시고 공부해자 송화해자 수림디 유부 치에 채고로 개화 슉 치에 채고래 니미직 써야지 다 수림 써야지 개화도 슉 충원아 채고로와
A second way that we can cultivate a virtuous mind, such as the commitment not to harm, not to kill, and ensure that great virtue is accumulated through the same commitment, is the duration that we promise to ourselves, I will not take life. I will not harm others. I will do everything I can to ensure that I'm careful and I don't cause pain and difficulty, certainly not take the life of others. So if one makes a solemn promise, today I will not take life, then one creates great stores of virtue, because one has promised for this entire 24-hour period, I will not kill. I will not take the life of another being. But if one makes with sincerity a commitment, I will not kill for a week or a month, so much more virtue is created because of the duration of the promise not to kill. And likewise, if one makes a lifetime commitment, for whatever duration I still will abide in this life, in this body, I commit to never intentionally killing another being. I will ensure that whether I live for just this day, week, month, or for many decades still, I will never intentionally kill another being. Such a commitment, of course, will lead to far greater store of virtue because of the greater duration of the commitment.
Jandala, Sunsi Mevach Ben, Nyada, Denisu, Songjada, Sada, Denisam Tangurwa, and that Yuji Chane, Chimada, Simjin, Pamado, Sunday, some day. Then, Hajiga, Simjin, Yuji Chane, Simjin Buddha, Buina, Mina, Dunra Kanin, Simjin Sosa Kanin, and Yusu May, Sabi Sumadi, that he knew by Chigor, because Yu Dela, Sunday, Dela, Simjin, Chasan Simjin, Kanin, Sosa Kanin. So you can see the Missugmi, some sonachi da, somadi, da, dini, niga, chick, somachi, where the Yuki Chane, called Chitti Gavache, or
there's also a difference in terms of the object that one commits not to kill. So if one makes the commitment, well, I'll endure the discomfort of insects and I won't kill them. And it makes the promise that one won't kill the insects one encounters in one's home or one's garden. It's a fantastic virtuous thing to do. But if one's promise is limited to, say, for example, just insects, then the weight of this virtue will also be limited. Because one is making no commitment to, for example, not to fish, or if one is a butcher, not to kill animals. So the weight of the virtue accumulated is limited because one's commitment, one's promise, is limited. Whereas on the other hand, if one makes the promise that I will not kill any sentient being, whether an insect, a mammal, or a bird, or a fish, or a human, any being, I will not take their life. I will not end their life. Such a commitment, of course, carries far greater weight. The karmic result will be far more powerful, more potent, because of the object. So the object has an impact on the result, as does the duration of the commitment, as does the strength of the motivation within oneself, if it's sporadic or if it's sustained.
These
are then some illustrations of how the weight of the karmic imprint will vary. And this variation applies to both virtuous deeds and non-virtuous deeds. And depending on the aspects that we've discussed, such as the the object to which the act is performed, the way that the act was performed, the performance, as well as the motivation. These all have an impact on whether the strength of the karmic seed, the weight of the karmic seed, is minor, middling, or heavy. So, or powerful rather. So therefore, these are, we need to pay attention to these aspects when we cultivate in a commitment not to engage in non-virtue and the commitment to engage in virtue. So now just before I translate again, I said in this part in our English text on the middling, on the weight of the karmic imprint, an example has been given. So that is not in the Tibetan. Again, is not very comfortable with this example, hence he hasn't mentioned it, because it's not in the Tibetan and he doesn't agree exactly with how it's been expressed, what's been expressed here. And now on to what Genis just said. So for us in the English, it's just above this. Ripening results of karma, there are varying ripening results of karma. So a particular karmic seed can ripen in three ways. Again, our text expresses it as four, because the second of the three can be broken into two. So the threefold division, which is what Genlo said, is in terms of the propelling karma, in terms of the propelling karma, or the causally concordant result, or the environmental result. So these are the three. The second one, the causally concordant, has two subdivisions, and our text mentions that. The first is the fully ripened result, or the propelling result, and the fourth is the environmental result. In brief, the fully ripening result, the propelling karma of non-virtue, is rebirth in the lower realms. So when a non-virtuous deed ripens in a propelling karma, propels a rebirth, it leads to rebirth in the lower realms. Then the second type of the threefold division, causally concordant. A causally concordant result is subdivided into two. We have in the second and third the causally concordant experiential effect and the causally concordant behavioral effect. So these two are two subdivisions of the causally concordant result.
So those are three, and then the fourth one is the environmental result. So here an important point to make is that a karmic imprint, when it ripens into a result, it can ripen into one of these four or all four of these four. Express it slightly differently, it can ripen as any of these four, any number of these four, or all four of them. So for example, as was said previously, if a non-virtuous deed ripens as a what we have here as the main effect, or the fully ripened result, or the propelling karma, it will only lead a non-virtuous karmic imprint to rebirth in the lower realms. So let's say one kills, negative deed. If it ripens as the propelling karma, or as the main effect, that will be rebirth in the lower realms. But if it's a karmic cause of killing, ripens, for example, as a causally concordant result, or an environmental result, that can be experienced not only by a being in the lower realms, it can be experienced by being in the happier migrations. So being in a happier migration, let's say a human, can experience the causally concordant result and the and or the environmental result of a non-virtuous deed such as killing. So the key point being made here, there are two, is that a karmic imprint can ripen in one or more than one of these four ways. If it's non-virtuous, it can, and it ripens as a propelling imprint, will only be in the lower realms. But it can be, a negative imprint can be experienced in the upper realms, but not as a propelling rebirth, but in the second and third types, causally concordant and environmental.
Remaining with the illustration of killing, but this applies to all karmic imprints. So staying with killing, so it's non-virtuous. If it ripens as a main effect or propelling karma, it only leads to rebirth in the lower realms, depending on the strength of the imprint, which of the lower realms has an impact on which of the lower realms. Let's say then a powerful act of killing leads to rebirth in the lower realms, and then eventually that propelling karma is exhausted and another imprint, virtuous imprint ripens, propelling rebirth in a happy migration. So now one's born as a human or as a god. So let's say as a human. But that previous act of killing is not exhausted. That previous act of killing can still be experienced now in the human life, in the human existence. And this is, for example, in as we have here in the third point, the causally concordant behavioral effect, which is where, due to having great habituation to engage in killing, now one continues with great ease and readiness to engage in killing. One is enjoying the act of killing. It comes easily to oneself. It comes naturally to oneself. So the Tibetan word for what we have translated as the causally concordant behavioral result, it literally contains the word to do. So this, what we have it as behavior, but to emphasize this to do shows the habituation that one has done this a lot and therefore is habituated to do it. It comes naturally to oneself. So this is how one experiences a causally concordant behavioral effect.
Midi
As has been mentioned, the coarsely concordant result is divided into two. We've looked at the one, that of coarsely concordant behavioral results. Then the other is coarsely concordant experiential results. And that then is what we have as the second one, coarsely concordant experiential effect. So this is where one experiences a result similar to what one oneself did. So, again, staying with the act of killing. If now one is born as a human, but experiences the coarsely concordant experiential result of killing, then that can be experienced as many illnesses or a shorter lifespan. So the lifespan that one has achieved, that one has the potential to fulfill in this life, that it will be unfulfilled because of the ripening effect, this coarsely concordant experiential effect, ensures or leads to the full duration of our lifespan being unfulfilled, and we end up leading a shorter life. Third result, so the propelling karma or the fully ripened result, the coarsely concordant result, and then the third, environmental result. So the environmental result that can be experienced in a rebirth as a human of killing would be that one's physically not very strong, not very powerful. One's body is quite weak. Also, medicine that one takes doesn't have much, the medicine doesn't have much of an impact on one's illness, tends not to heal one, whereas perhaps it would with others. The food that one eats, that nutritional value, doesn't have much impact on oneself. And one can even become easily ill from food. So these are the environmental results that one experiences as, and for example, from the non-virtuous act of killing.
Jeba yudin yi debo de la, simjian so ju, sun ya la ka wa. Jeba yudin yi, yunga yudin debo la, tse ring wa. Dene tabi tebola, ane meyena, dene ki sosule supole, pando nubachi moyoga, digi meyese ba ne, des mariba ne, sune meyese ne, meyene digi, peyeci, lamru yakwe, meyye yakwe, peyeci ne digi yakwe, suy tuya da. O dene singo reze vada.
These three results, that of the fully ripened result, the causally concordant result, and the environmental result, we've looked at then in terms of non-virtue, through the illustration of killing. So these same three results apply, of course, to virtuous acts. So the opposite of killing, we'll take then, the ethical restraint. So ethical restraint, for example, the commitment not to kill. This leads to a karmic imprint being accumulated, and should that ripen, being a virtuous imprint, the ethical restraint of the restraining from killing, should that ripen as a propelling karma, so the first type, the main effect, would lead to rebirth in a happy migration, such as a human. Then the second result, which we'll just combine these two, of the causally concordant result, which has the two divisions of causally concordant behavioral and causally concordant experiential results, would mean that one delights in ethics. Maybe a better way to express that, one is naturally ethical. One is inclined towards ethics. One would be perceived and would be a naturally ethical person. And then, so that would be the causally concordant experiential result, and due to the habituation, the behavioral result, one will continue to be ethical. And the causally concordant experiential result of ethical restraint is that one will have a longer life, one will fulfill one's lifespan, whatever that may be, one will fulfill that lifespan, and one will not experience major illnesses, or have less illnesses, have greater, better health. So that would be the causally concordant results of ethical restraint. And the environmental results would be, again, be the opposite of killing, thus being virtuous. The environmental results would be the food and medicine, for example, would be effective, would be beneficial to one's body. They would have a great impact, a great beneficial impact on one's body, on one's health. So one would be strong. Nutritious food would have the impact of nutritious food. Medicine would have the desired result and would heal one. So what we see here is the results of the virtuous acts and the non-virtuous acts can be experienced in these three, through the three different types of results, and the way they are experienced are opposite.
Kumago, Majimba Lemba, Leg, some Tavana, Majimba Lemba Digi, Taramanjugi, Naming Devo, Nasola Kiware, Chivare, Naming Devo, the Nasola Kiore. Then Guding it devoted, Jeva Guding it devoted, Kumaja Lekawa, the Naking Nasola Kies, and Nasola Taraji Milkiwa in there, and Kumaja Lekawa, Ligua, then Jeva Guding Kiwacha, Yema, Kumama Mujava, the Di, Jevi, Titan Kimbi, the Kumaja Lekawa. Then you want to get a book at a good lesson, and then pinch your combo, racing, pinch your combo, and combo in good race. Then double jabo carrying good lesson, so you get turned over Tavane, turned out in Nuba Chu, Muma to Maravana. Young chick turned out Tavane, Chava Majesty, Temper Dungeon, and Diggy Mava Suyada. Young chick, Temper Matama Jen, Yang Chick Dundo Yahoo Jen, Yang Chavo Shukimu, Chavo Manta, Yang Chola Dama, the Mava Suyada. On the Nissing Gurus, is not double to put the name Gurus.
And then let's look at how these three results are experienced from a different non-virtuous act, that of stealing. So, as has been said a couple of times, any non-virtuous act, when it ripens as a propelling karma or as its main effect, it will always be as rebirth in the lower realms. So if an act of stealing ripens in a rebirth, it would only be in the lower realms. The second type, that of causally concordant karma, this in terms of the behavior, one enjoys stealing, one delights in stealing, one is inclined to steal, inclined to take what is not one's own. And then in terms of the experiential result,
one always is poor. Even if one gains some wealth, it's quickly lost. One struggles to retain wealth. One lives in poverty. So that would be the causally concordant experiential result. And then an illustration of the environmental effect is the crops in that environment would have a poor yield. They'd be regularly harmed by the elements such as hail and drought and so forth. So these would be some illustrations of the results that would come from stealing. Just to bring out this point, the second type of result, that of causally concordant. So we can see here that if one's natural inclination, if it is towards killing, if it's towards stealing, we can see how one will this is a result of a strong habituation to this deed, and will lead to the continued accumulation of non-virtue. The opposite of stealing is that of the ethical restraint of restraining from miserliness, and in other words, the act of generosity. So generosity is a virtuous act, of course, and it can be expressed as ethical restraint, the ethical restraint of guarding against the mind of miserliness. So when this ripens, being virtuous, as a fully ripened effect, it ripens in a rebirth and a happy migration. And the experiential result, causally concordant result rather, would be that one delights in generosity. One is naturally generous. And also, one has an abundance of resources, all required favorable circumstances. And then in terms of the environment, one's environment is plentiful. There's not a shortage of water and food and so forth, and all that there is plentiful and nutritious. It's the purpose of sustaining life is readily fulfilled. And similarly, one's business endeavors are successful, whatever one engages in is readily achieved. So this is also the results that follow, the experiential results that will follow from, the causally concordant results that will follow from the act of generosity. So we'll leave that for there. We'll leave that there. We don't need to go through how these three results are experienced or ripen for all 10 non-virtues and all 10 virtuous deeds. The principle hopefully is clear. So these are good to know and to have some understanding of. So I hope that's clear then. So let's then turn to the text and cover something new. And now in the second half of page 25 is a verse from the chapter of the Truthful One. O King, do not kill, for all that lives cherishes life. If you wish to live long yourself, respect life, and do not even think of killing. Looking at the first two lines here, the king is exalted. O king, do not kill, for all that lives cherishes life. So the point that's being made here is to understand that no matter what class of being it is, their life is precious to them. They value their life. So this point is being emphasized here at the start of the verse, to understand this from the perspective of others, whomever they are, their lives are precious to them. The concluding couplet, if you wish to live long yourself, respect life, and do not even think of killing. So the link between these two couplets is that be aware that others value their life, just like you value your life too. Be aware that others want to live a full, a long, a healthy, a problem-free life, just as you do too. So see what you value as being valued by others too. And therefore, from deep within yourself, cultivate the firm and stable motivation that I will not kill, I will not bring harm to others. And develop this way so that it is held deep within and thereby is stable and unwavering and always guides you. The author of our text writes here, as said here, rely upon an attitude resolved not to entertain thoughts of any harmful action, such as killing and the other non-virtues. Abandon all forms of non-virtue and strive with all your might to actualize goodness. So this is an important point that has been made very clearly here, that one is being encouraged here to make great effort to develop ethical restraint within oneself, this commitment not to bring harm to others, and to develop this in a way that is deep felt, that is transformative, that governs the decisions one makes, governs the interactions that we have with others at all times, not just in front of others, but when alone too, that we don't even allow harmful thoughts to dominate within us. So this is a key point to make. So as has been said tonight and in every talk, for transformation to come, one needs to reflect repeatedly over a sustained period. This serves many purposes, makes us habituated to a particular way of thinking, virtuous way of thinking, or weakens our habituation to non-virtuous ways of thinking. But in addition to this, as we become more habituated to a particular way of thinking, let's put it this way, as we repeatedly engage in meditating on the same point, we will naturally start to understand that point in subtler levels. And therefore, we will start to be aware of the subtler non-virtuous mind and the need to restrain ourselves from engaging in them. Likewise, we will thereby be aware of the subtler virtuous mind that we need to cultivate, become habituated to. So therefore, as always, one is encouraged to engage in repeated meditation, because not only does one become habituated to the virtuous topic, but one's understanding becomes more profound. And the transformation is heartfelt, and not just changes how we behave on a coarse level, on an obvious level, but even the subtler levels, there we have inner transformation as well. And here, as says explicitly in the text, what we have discussed tonight is primarily through the illustration of killing and not killing, but this must be understood to relate to all forms of non-virtue, such as the 10 non-virtues, with their subtler levels. So all forms of non-virtue, whether physically expressed, verbally expressed, or mental, and likewise, whether opposing virtuous minds. We need to develop powerful mind of restraint, ensuring that our mind and our physical and verbal behavior remains virtuous and doesn't go in a non-virtuous way. And this is something that we must strive with all our might to accomplish.
Deba denier gi samlo shuk che me che yoya dele ya kara sam tang gor se ne ta gewi gi debu gewa che ba ne debu din de de yung gure ya sa ji bin nga zo gi sim jo so che so bi chu jim so ba na ndi debu le kar yong se ya wa chi ma den zhu le gi yung gure ya sa ja ta ne den zhu le ge ba na ndi debu an ya ge da bei debu kar le yong se de nu sim jin xian sim jo so che so wa le ge bu yung gure se ane che ren wa yo ya da An Suzuki Nena the Nua, and Diniki doesn't Nena the Chuway, Menju, Dinish Menju Lamri Yakuya, Nedi Yakuja, Gurias, Sisna Dinisa, and the Maranzuki, Chudun Suaina, Digi Tebuti, Ransuli Digi Ungu Dinita, Dustin Gurias, Santa. That's what you say by not D Tebu, Nami Tebu Kawaji, Nasoniki Gore, Sisna Ding Nasoniki, Nasu Bottomab and Yunga Chagores. Tangasong That's what you probably should meet with the Yungu. Dinner, she that Majibal Kuma Javana, digitable Nasola Kia, and the Nasola Kiada. And the Nasola Kia, then the Tani Milikiavana, Kuma Javala Kabu. The Kuma Javala Kabu, Kuma Javana, Kama Motigua, the Tim Diada, me, Niada Diada, Motigua, the Niada. And the Maji and Dimazi, gyuting yi tibu liya, anna chigi kasuwari, nyonga gyuting yi tibu tila, anna bencho, bencho kanga, togo ye kanga mabu taya. An dini ki yang chik dangwe tibu liya, susu ki tuandoro, tap susu ki chik tsongro kiawe ne, lamri yaku ma juo che, anna susu ki tuya ki, tibu tiki yaku ma yonga wa, anna chik dini ki kanga taya. On doos chine, anna yunggo re resim pigi, na doos tam taya ta, majin balin pigi tibu dini de yunggo re resim. Jadi ini yang tak, cikgu ini orang macam miliki apa nak kanga tu, jadi orang solat kira kanga itu miliki apa kanga tu yang tak ada macam balik sahaja ni cikgu minu. So jadi apa yang nak, ini orang solat dua ini yang kau tu, jadi ada ini yang tak miliki apa ini ya, ini dua yang, jadi orang solat sahaja cikgu minu sebab sama dia suci oleh itu korang. Ini kita cikgu dia sama dah na di kiri panya di bawah tu yang suci oleh korang. Oh di najis dah orang juga. Tsurim suwa ina, tsurim suwiki ina, kiawa chimbala nga dendroliki, dendroliki wikab dela ina, tsurim suwa la kawa, tseringwa, suzuki ina, jingi nye nyungwa, menju jiba karina namlu kiwa chabata. Na jibbe nyamna jibbe jibu diki kiawa chimbala nga zui, ta jiki dendroliki, dendroliki wikab la ina, ya kia jimba tongwa la shenle, jimba tongwa la kawa chidu, shenle penpeki chawa chidu, rangkiwa, mishandali dewa chaya, diki tutuya. अन्य जगह सोचो इन्हें लॉन्चू ले कंपनी में बार लॉन्चू के यापू यों या अन्य सोचो के दर ने सिंगारो तबे आता सोंगरो क्या बने सोचो के लिए का लम्रो यापू यों या जब तो यापू यों या का और दूसरों को ले समझे दिने इन जगह आने जगह चले जिम्मेदार या ला कावा था लॉन्चू यापू था स 담당은 되게 지배념을 제대로 뒤바뒤에 숙취하는 거래. 되는 자당은 저게 균지게 삼당서 균지게 삼당에서 규디디 되는 대부디는 되는 용고래. 규디디나 대디는 용고래서 비게 도친 대부 중나 삼당이도 대부 약고 중고에나 규디래 배서 되는 게 뒤바시 어디디 지역으로서 되는 게 뒤발에 두고래. 대부 독자의 강화 지역과 통일어도 어디디 규디 니 지기면으로서 비게 제대로게 될래. 진행 모두가 뒷부분에 뒷부분에 사발이 들어오네. 제가 드네에서 균지에 삼다에 안에 야도 삼당과 빼마서 계층부를 해서 올. 네 계층부에 다 안에 야도까지 삼도까지 균지에 삼도까지 누가 삼도 숙체를 해두네. 초화들이야. 만족의 개화도 주변에 돈이가 초화도 숙체리고 뒷부분 숙체리고래. 미개화도 빵도기 뒷부분 숙체리고래. 드네에서 개화도 숙체 뒷부분 같은 숙체나 기회 잡아내야. 이 양의 양, 쥐의 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 양,
Summarize what we've looked at tonight then. In order to transform ourselves, to really transform our outlook and thereby our behavior, comes about independence on making great effort over a sustained period. So in the particular, this topic here of cause and effect is of particular importance. The way then to experience the benefit of this talk and the previous three talks on causality is to meditate on results, starting with results, thinking about what it is that one wants to achieve, what it is that one wants to experience, what it is that one does not want to experience. So here we reflect on the results that come from the non-virtuous deeds, such as killing. That one, if one kills, one will be born in the lower realms and experience unimaginable suffering. No one wants this. And even if another imprint, a virtuous imprint, leads to rebirth as a human, but then as in the life of a human, previously accumulated acts of killing ripen, One will not live out one's lifespan. One will delight in killing, take pleasure in killing, and thereby create ever more causes to suffer. One's medicine and food will be ineffective. And likewise for stealing. If one commits a non-virtuous act of stealing, that will lead to rebirth in the lower realms. And again, if a virtuous imprint leads to a rebirth as a human, but then the non-virtuous imprints of stealing ripens, one will experience poverty. Whatever all one's endeavors will be unsuccessful, one's business will be unsuccessful, one will have insufficient circumstances to practice. One will delight in stealing. It will come naturally to one. Hence, further causes of suffering will be accumulated. And then likewise, the same three results are applied to all non-virtuous deeds. But the opposite is also the case. If one develops the ethical mind, the mind of ethical restraint, restraining from taking life, restraining from harming others with our body, with our speech, and even our way of thinking. If one develops the ethical restraint of restraining from miserliness and practicing generosity, and we think about those results, when these and all other virtuous acts ripen in their fully ripened effect, or as a propelling karma, leads to a desired rebirth as a human or God. And it ensures that we live out our lifespan, that we live in an environment that's pleasing, that we have abundance of resources, favorable circumstances, our lives are healthy and long. We delight in virtue. We delight in generosity. We delight in being ethical. We're naturally ethically inclined, naturally generous, naturally non-miserly. So when we think about the results, immediately we think, that's what the kind of person I would like to be. Those are the ways, habituated ways of thinking I wish I had naturally, as well as those favorable circumstances around me, because they will aid my spiritual progression and enable me to be of ever greater benefit to others, be of ever greater meaningful impact on others. So this comes about due to reflecting, this way of thinking comes about due to reflecting on cause and effect, meditating on cause and effect, thinking firstly about the results. These are the results I want to avoid, I do not want to experience. These are the results I desire, I long for. Giving rise to this desire for particular results leads us to seek out the causes, the unwanted causes, the desired causes, and thereby seeing both the results and the causes, through meditating on these repeatedly, leads to a strength of mind. I will abandon the accumulation of these causes, and I will strive to adopt or cultivate these. Or to express it differently, through meditating repeatedly over a sustained period on the suffering results, happy results, the causes that lead to suffering, and the causes that lead to happiness, leads to profound commitment to abandon the afflicted minds, not just the coarse ones, the subtler ones too, and always be on guard for the potential arisal of the afflicted minds, because these are the causes of suffering, these are the causes for unwanted results. And thereby it becomes easy for us to know that this is a time of great danger, this is a time when I can or I may come under the influence of the afflictions. Let's guard my mind and ensure that rather the causes of happiness are cultivated. In other words, the virtuous minds, minds such as ethical restraint, such as generosity, patience, love and compassion. I keep these dominant within myself because these minds alone lead to the causes of happiness. And when they're expressed in my physical and verbal behavior, they lead to further causes of happiness, benefit to others. So this is the great benefit that comes from reflecting on cause and effect. So therefore, to conclude, it's my deep hope that you take what is presented in these classes, meditate on them every day, strengthening your habituation to virtuous minds, and weakening and eventually eliminating the afflicted minds within. Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.